Before Liz went into health and fitness, she sold over 1 million of the world's finest cutlery, working for Vector Marketing as a sales rep and direct and district manager. Using her sales training to connect with her audience in a fun and authentic way is her biggest secret to success online. So welcome, Liz. I can't wait to hear your presentation.
Thank you. So Derek just gave you so many amazing copywriting tips that require lots of effort. So I'm going to give you many things that don't require nearly as much effort. And no one told me how to use this clicker. So that's going to require a little bit of effort on my part for a moment. And let's hope I do it right. Yes. So Derek also went through part of what I was going to say too. And I'm just going to do it again because I feel like people need to be sold on that it's okay to sell all the time. Because at some point or another, most of us have had like super negative experiences with salespeople. Have anyone like some super douche, like it was probably buying a car, buying a house. Someone lied to you. You spent money. It wasn't true. So those experiences, or maybe your parents like just hate salespeople. Does anyone have that person in their family that just, if someone's selling something, it's like the angry guy that Derek showed you earlier. It's like, oh, sales happening? I hate you. So we also have to be talked off the ledge on why it's okay for us to sell our things. And I think he did a great job on that. So he actually saved me some time. But just remember that you have amazing things to offer. And you know that you're not a douche. You know, you're not lying to people. And you're not trying to wrong anyone. So it really is wronging yourself by not asking for people's money, because your time is super valuable. And you obviously have something really important to offer to the world. So I also want to put this in context for you. There's so many things that we do, especially as women, that aren't part of our businesses that require sales. Like who's married or in a relationship or who has kids. You are selling people on doing stuff all the time that they don't want to do. So I just want to remind you, that's why I always say selling knives was like the greatest thing I could have ever possibly done in college, because those skills I carry with me, you know, everywhere, all the time. So I want to share a story with you guys, because part of the art of effortless selling, and this is a big deal for me because I've never actually shared this photo super publicly before, but this is going to tie into one of the most valuable things I can share with you when it comes to selling effortlessly, because the biggest thing that you could ever possibly do is be yourself. When you are yourself and you are just super open, honest, bare, and real with people, you don't, that makes the sale. So do you guys know who Danielle Laporte is? So in her Desire Map group on Facebook last week, I put up this post. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but long story short, any of you guys watch South Park? I always think of that episode. Whenever someone says that, it's not going to be a short story at all. So I will make this as short as humanly possible. In Marie Forleo's Adventure Mastermind, which is where I met Nat, where I met a couple of the other girls in the audience today, our first adventure a little over 2 years ago was doing a boudoir photo shoot. And it was a really magical experience. Has anyone ever done boudoir? It's like the most uncomfortable thing in the world if you know you're doing it. But when you don't and you wake up one morning and someone's like, you're going to get naked in front of a camera later, it's extra uncomfortable. Oh, and by the way, there's going to be someone else in a room with you because there's 25 people here and we have to go in pairs. You're like, oh, all right. Let's do this, you know, like I don't really have a choice, so I might as well dive in. So this was my favorite picture from this photo shoot, and I wanted to blog about the experience because, you know, this is what I do, health and fitness. I talk about bodies all the time, and it's women, like there's always something. Like there's something I hate on my body right now, you know. There's always something. And it was such an amazing experience. And my mom, I knew, would be like flip out and die, like super Catholic growing up, like very like Bible says women are supposed to be modest. So I thought I'd call her and give her a heads up. Do you guys know my mom? Do you know how the story ends? You laughed before I even got to tell you. Flipped out. Like, 3 day long battle. There was crying. There was fighting. I was exhausted. And I gave in. I folded. I said, fine, I won't do it. And that's been bothering me for like over 2 years. So I posted this in there the other day. I opened up, put the photo, and you'll see. 140 people liked it. There were 82 comments, but this is the one I circled. I had no intention that day other than doing something that I needed to do for myself and finding a safe environment and community in which to do it. And this woman says, FYI, because of your post, I just signed up for your website. I'm about to buy your stuff. Your honesty moved me and inspired me. And the reason I tell you that story is because we all have things that we don't talk about, and I just want to encourage you to share a little more than you're comfortable sharing. I saw a quote the other day that I don't know how I never saw it before in my life. Gandhi said, "My life is my message. I'm actually messing it up." What did someone say? Oh, thank you. "My life is my message." And I kind of feel like in the context of a sales conversation, my message is my sales pitch. I don't need to pitch you. Derek said, people want to know, like, and trust you. If people see and know you and trust you and they buy into what you're doing, they just want to be part of it. What I didn't realize, again, because this was selfish for me, this was something that I was doing purely for myself to get it out there and just be courageous. I obviously didn't have room to put all the comments. How many people said something like, oh my God, I've been holding on to this shame story. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this. So you have the power to sell and encourage and connect with people in many more ways than just how you write your sales copy and even some of the other tips that I'm going to give you later. So being yourself is the most important and least talked about way to make more money. And I'm calling this your unique advantage because I'm going to cover a couple things here. Your unique advantage, know exactly what you want, know your customer. 7 steps to a sale, literally, that's out of my Cutco training manual from May 18th, 2001. And the different ways to sell. And I'm going to walk you through how we can apply numbers 1 through 4 to the different ways to sell. So it's you. The more comfortable you get being who you really are and sharing that with people, the more money you will make. And I know, because I know several of you in the audience seeing this in action all the time. Like, I'm sure someone can think of something you've bought literally just because you liked the person, yeah? And you might not have even used the thing, but you didn't even request a refund because you were like, I dig them. I dig what they're doing. Maybe I'll use it someday. I don't even care. And the other thing I want to tell you is you are enough, which is so funny because Rebecca Baruki, who's in the room, who actually is on one of my slides later, bet you didn't know that. We were having a conversation earlier how women, we do fitness, and a lot of women, their body or their health or something is their issue, and how often that's not the issue. The issue is I don't feel like I'm good enough, but I'm going to just say my body because I'm used to that being an issue. So it's okay to look at other people's stuff for inspiration, but you've got to put in the time to sprinkle your own personal style on it. And I've sensed throughout the course of the day, as I've been sitting in the back listening to a lot of your questions, that there are people at all different levels here. Some of you are just starting out, like barely have an email list, if you even have one. Some of you are a little more experienced. No matter what, at any stage in your business, there's always going to be that temptation to like look and see and compare yourself. Look at what other people are doing. And it's cool to like get inspiration from other people's stuff, but you have got to do the diligence of putting your own twist and making it yours. Because at the end of the day, whenever you're going and kind of biting off someone else's stuff, it's because you don't think that you can actually do it on your own. And the fact of the matter is, you can do it on your own and you don't need anyone else. But there is a fine line between knockoff and inspiration. So always ask yourself the question, how can I do it better? And let me give you an example. A good friend of mine, Stu McLaren, who's the co-founder of Wishlist Member. Does anyone use Wishlist for their membership on their site? Is also just launched something called Rhino Support. Does anyone use Zendesk for their current support on their website? Zendesk, which I didn't know this because I don't use them, charges $50 a month per customer service representative. So actually, as your business grows, they're almost penalizing you. Like, you have to pay more money as your business grows, and you need to hire more people, which kind of sucks. So with Rhino, they were like, no, it's $50 a month, no matter how many customer support people you have. So essentially, they're not doing much of anything very different, but they just made this, like, entirely mega convenient for other people. So they just looked at some that already exist and said, how can I make it better? So my next point is to talk and write like you really talk. And that's one of the things that we all love about Derek. Like, you're pretty sure when he goes home, he's still talking like that when he gets there. You know, like, people, and in the world where we live in the era of social media, where people get really comfortable saying stuff from behind a computer screen that they would never say to people in real life, I find that people now more than ever are craving the truth. And they're craving real people. That's why 82 people wrote on that thing, thank you for opening up. Thank you for being genuine. Thank you for being authentic. Raw, somebody used that word. And again, that's not anything anyone has to try to do. All you do is be yourself. So forget cheeky, sassy language unless that's how you really talk. And I see some people in the room smirking because I know you know what I'm talking about. You go online and you see someone's new telesummit with like the dumbest name you've ever heard in your life. You're like, I don't even know what that means. I'm definitely not signing up for it because I'm so confused by your 17-word title for something and I still don't get it. And I don't need to talk about copywriting because Derek did that, but it's stories. Simple, clear, concise language, wool. And he was talking about creating a story using a third party or whomever. But for those of you that are personal brands or that do relate with your audience one-on-one, or you're a coach or you're a service-based business, sharing your own story is always one of the most powerful things that you can do because people want to see themselves in your story. And for many of us, I know for me and I know for some other people in the room, I am my ideal client 5 years ago. Can anyone relate to that? You're coaching, a lot of you, old you. So you know that person. And if that's the case for you, it's even more important to tell your story so they can go, oh, she was there too. And look at where she is now. People just want to know, like, if you can do it, I can do it. There's so many people that are successful because they have that factor going on for them. So speak, act, and write like you do in real life. And Bex, I found the most amazing. You're welcome. This is great. But how many subscribers do you have on YouTube? Right. Because this, she's just herself. Just herself all the time. If you read the paragraph, like, again, people want real. People want someone they can relate with. People want someone they feel like, you know what? I'd want to hang out with her. I want to be your friend. I've had people write to me and say, you know, I secretly fantasize about being your best friend. Like, if I'm ever in New York, please let me come have coffee with you. And I'm like, I don't know if it's creepy or impressed. No, I always write back, oh my God, thanks. I love you too. And I mean it. So that was your unique advantage. Obviously, being yourself is the way to make more money. Knowing exactly what you want. So this is what I want. I want a raving global community, and I want my women to feel connected to their bodies and intuition and know that anything they want can stem from there. I want them to stop feeling trapped in their bodies for whatever reason and fucking love it instead. Because how many of you have probably spent most of your life, since we have mostly women in here, not loving your body all the time? And that sucks. So that's this is what I really want. You all have your own things that you know you want in your business. So I want you to get super clear and super specific. And I know some of you are probably sitting there like, wait a minute, I thought she was going to tell me how to sell stuff. I'm telling you how to sell stuff because this is the underneath. This is the below the surface stuff that when you get this going on for yourself, selling is easy. You don't even have to. You just being there is making the sale. So what is your big picture? Like, you are where you are today. What do you want like 3 years from now? Say, for example, you and I were having a conversation 3 years from now. What would have had to happen for you, personally and professionally, for you to feel satisfied with your progress? That's the question, actually, from Dan Sullivan's book, The Question. And that's something, when you really think about that, can help drive the actions that you take moving forward. So why are you even selling? Again, getting over that hump of even selling something. And how can you weave that into every piece of content you create? Because for a lot of us, we spend a lot of time creating content, not necessarily selling a specific product, right? So how are you actually, like we said, if my life is my message and my message is my sales pitch, how are you actually injecting some piece of what it is that you really want, of your core concept, which I'm going to talk about in a second, into all of your content? So people just know what you're all about. Again, makes it much easier. So develop a core concept. And I know a lot of you are familiar with Marie Forleo, and her B-School. I know a lot of you probably are. Who's in B-School? Cool. So you're going to recognize this as soon as I say it, because she said it like a million times during the videos. Women who get and leverage online marketing have the highest profits, the best customers, and a business that makes money 24/7. That's the core concept for B-School. From there, everything in B-School was created. So every time you go out to create a product, a service, an offering, or something like that, there needs to be a core concept. And your core concept may stay consistent over several products or offerings, or it might change. My core concept is willpower sucks. Simplicity, motivation, and enjoyment are the keys to lasting results. And again, with that as my core concept, I barely have to sell because women love hearing that they can get in shape and not have to rely on willpower because it, join me, sucks. So more on the core concepts. This helps you decide what to create, how you're going to create it, and to actually create things that you enjoy producing. Again, I know a lot of this is like unconventional when it comes to sales. But when I sit down and I'm thinking about my next product or my next program, or I recently actually shut down my one-on-one coaching program because I wasn't enjoying it anymore. The reason why I believe enjoyment for you is such a huge part of selling is because people are attracted to people who enjoy what they're doing, who love what they're doing. Especially a lot of our customers, like, we're all entrepreneurs, and a lot of us are like entrenched in this entrepreneurial market. And a lot of us have a lot of friends who do things that they love and enjoy. So we get kind of like jaded. We're like, well, doesn't everyone? No, like the large, outrageous majority of people do not love their life and love what they do. They get in their car, they go to their shitty job, they work with people they hate. I remember I worked in corporate America for a whole year. I hated it. I lasted at one job for 2 weeks. I was in a cube farm. It was the worst. So when you create things that you enjoy producing, again, that just adds. It's like sprinkling this like dust of magnetism on everything you do because people are attracted to that. People don't buy products and services, they buy feelings. And I'm sure, I don't know if Halpern's still around, he could probably cite some psychological study for you. That's not my style. But it's been proven that ultimately, even the people who are like the very logical, linear, left brain type thinkers who make their pros and cons lists when they make decisions, ultimately, the very end, when it's time to make a decision, it's always an emotional decision. So a lot of things that Derek talked about, you know, it's, you don't want to hear and think about yourself twisting a knife, but again, you know your customers, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, and you know what they need. So obviously there's that good old adage, sell them what they want, give them what they need. Like, you need to become in your business like the master of packaging it in a way that people are like, oh my God, yeah. And then if you know they need a little more, that's not what they're willing to admit, you just Trojan horse it in there. Just stick it in there. I created a program called Tighter in 10 Days. I don't believe in quick fix solutions. I wanted to call it a jump start, but Marie Forleo wouldn't let me. She was like, no one's ever laying in bed at night thinking, I really need to jumpstart my body. But everyone wants to get tighter in 10 days. And I'm like, all right, we'll go with the tighter in 10 days. So, because that elicits emotion. Excuse me. So when you love what you're doing, your customers can feel that and they're going to want it. So go beyond demographics when it comes to knowing your customer. And I wasn't here first thing in the morning. Nat went through ideal customer avatar, right? Or most of you, for the most part, know what that means. So I'll skim over this, but if you have a question, if you want me to stop, I totally will. So stories sell, and there's two stories to be thinking about, right? Your story and their story. What's true and what isn't true. So many of our clients and customers have all these stories that actually are not true. But the fact of the matter is, if they believe it, we need to be addressing their concerns and what's going on for them. What's keeping them up at night? They are looking for themselves in your story, which I already mentioned. And I already mentioned this as well. Share a bit more than you're comfortable sharing. And one of the greatest tips, I don't remember where she said it or how she said it, came from Danielle Laporte. It was one of the things she talked about. And I think someone asked this question earlier, I forget during what part of Nat's talk, but how much do you share? Like, what's too much? What's not enough? And a bit more than you're comfortable sharing, get out of your comfort zone, but obviously you know. And the other thing is, don't share about like this traumatizing life situation while you are still going through it. You guys laugh, but again, with the proliferation of social media, how many of you seen like businesses and brands like venting on Facebook to like their community and you're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like to use the word unprofessional because I believe professional is actually a very like individualized word depending on what people do. But there's just something like, if you're the mentor, if you're the coach, like that's just inappropriate, I think. So wait till you get out successfully on the other time to tell the story. Use their language. So this is a great way. And can you tell, by the way, I'm really tired of social media. So here's how I've been using it lately. I got tired of like putting together quote images and like just saying like doing all these cliche things just so more people would click like on my Facebook page. Ask questions. Start conversations. I had an assistant who would every single month upload a fitness tip, a nutrition tip, and a quote every single day, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 5 p.m. on my Facebook page. In January, I was like, you know what? Let's stop doing that. I'm going to link up my Instagram with my Facebook page. I'm just going to post pictures of stuff, kind of let people into my life, let them see what I'm doing, and just start conversations. The engagement, you know how on Facebook pages they have that engagement number? The engagement goes through the roof. Because literally, again, people want to like see into your life. They want to be part of your story. They want to feel like they know you. Surveying your customers. And this is great for when it comes to Derek's stuff, because when you go to write your copy, whether you're writing emails, sales pages, whatever, or the other things that we're going to talk about later, you want to be able to use their specific language. So like once every couple months, or even right when people opt into my list, I actually have surveys. I have an option for people to click if they're an entrepreneur, if they're not an entrepreneur, for two reasons. One, so I can segment people on my list, so I'm not spamming non-entrepreneurs with like business and marketing stuff on the occasion that I decide to share that. And then I just ask them a couple of questions, and it's always that, you know, what are you struggling with? What are you frustrated about? You know, what are your goals in the next 90 days and questions like that. So I survey my subscribers and then I do survey my customers. So the program's called Tighter in 10 Days. Get what you get in the email autoresponder on day 11. Fill out the survey. I'd love to know what you think about the program. And here's what's really cool about this. Again, you're going to get language, like specific words and sentences, because even though many of us used to be our ideal customer, we're not anymore. And we've come through. So we're not in that mindset of like when we had those struggles before. So maybe we can't, you know, relate on the spot. We have to like sit there and actually go back. So you get their language. You can actually use the words that they use. But, and I'm so proud of myself. I feel like most things, nothing is new. Everything I'm teaching you, I've learned somewhere else, right? But this, I'm quite sure I made up myself. So I'm proud of this little testimonial trick. When I says yes, you can just cut and paste anything from what they said and use a testimonial. And here's why that ended up working out so well is because anyone notice when you actually ask people for testimonials, it's really hard for them to write it. And you have to, I see someone's there like, and also sometimes you have to like really drag it out of them. Like, no, I need to know about the results, the numbers. Not like, this is the best program I ever did. I'm like, of course I want to hear that too, but people care about results. So when you've asked, like, what were your starting measurements, what were your ending measurements, or, and obviously I'm weight loss, and whatever it is that you guys do, I'm sure there's metrics that you like to keep track of. Then you have that information. Because while they were filling it out, they weren't worried. They weren't preoccupied. They weren't trying to write a great testimonial. They were just giving you the facts. And then after that, I always say any additional comments, any other feedback, testimonial, or anything like that that you'd want to enter. So that is a great way, A, to collect testimonials, and B, again, to just get that language from your customers. So here's the 7 steps to a sale. And I couldn't, it's so funny how I still remember this. So anyone in here sell knives? Did anyone sell Cutco ever? All right. Did you guys hate, raise your hand if you hated it. Like, it was the worst experience in your life. Did anyone love it? Just me? It's fine. They're amazing. You should have several. They're the best knives in the world. I don't work there anymore, by the way, guys, but I still have all my Cutco. So when I was 19 years old, I replied to the shady ad in the newspaper that I'd actually no-showed the interview the summer before, because I'm like, that seems really shady. But I was like bored working at this Italian store, Casa Casale. I didn't feel like selling pasta and balsamic vinegar for another summer. So I'm like, I'll go check out this thing, even though I have no idea what it is, and they intentionally don't tell you until you get there. I don't think they do it that way anymore. I remember when transparency was a big movement in the company. Great. That should not have to be a movement in your business, by the way. Write that down. So anyway, that summer, I was 19 years old. I was the number 10 sales rep in the United States of America out of like 20,000 reps. And I still think it's funny because all I did was call everyone in my high school directory. And then in my brother's middle school directory. Do you know how many people told me no? My best friend's parents told me no. So another little selling tip for you. You got to go through a lot of no's to get to the yeses. So, but in the training manual, there literally is this 7 steps to a sale. So, and it does relate actually pretty well to what Derek just taught you. I don't mind saying though, this is a little bit simpler. So step number 1 is to build rapport. And when I get to my last point where we talk about selling with people one-on-one, selling through like one to a group, like if I was selling something from the stage right now, that'd be one to a group. A webinar, which a lot of you guys were asking questions about earlier, is one to a group, anything like that. Or video. I make a lot of videos and we do sales through that too. You build rapport. And in fact, for us, as people who run businesses online, who wants to guess for me, how do we build rapport? Yeah, our free content. That's how we're building rapport. So you build rapport so people get to know you, and you establish a general problem. So I'm just going to walk you guys through the Cutco example. What was the general problem? I still remember it. It was this page of like dirty, gross knives that we would show people. And you knew you were going to make a sale when you showed them, and somebody goes, ooh, I think I have that one. You were like, yes. Not for long, Mrs. Jones. And that's what it says in the training manual, Mrs. Jones. So the entire weekend, like your training's 3 days, you're role-playing, literally role-playing, reading out of a training manual with people. You're saying, so Mrs. Jones, have you ever had the chance to price fine cutlery? Hilarious. I never actually had a Mrs. Jones either, which was kind of disappointing because I feel like I would have rocked that presentation. So I talked to her so many times before. So establish the general problem, right? So for, I don't want to keep using weight loss because obviously that's my example. Does anyone, what is your demographic?
Women age 27.
Cool. And what is it that you sell? Like leggings?
Yeah.
Cool. So what do you think would be a problem in general? That might be a little more specific, which I haven't gotten to yet. So why, like for example, why do women even need tights? Cool. Make the legs look shapely, right? So the general problem for something like tights might be something like, do you have like a scar on your leg or discoloration, or maybe you have like ashy knees or something and... You don't want people seeing that. That's a general problem. That's the type of thing where you're throwing it out there and just hoping someone goes, ooh, I have that problem. And you're like, yes, you're probably buying my tights. So next is then the specific problem, and that's what you just said, right? Too many runs, I run out, I don't have enough, I need black, and I only have beige or whatever. I actually hate pantyhose, and I don't wear them. No offense to you. That's why I moved to the West Coast, so I could be tan, and I feel like I don't need to. So you establish a specific problem. We can all think of that, like whatever this is in our business, that was your specific problem. And then you go through the features and benefits. So tell me now, and I know this is actually something Derek really harps on, there's a big difference between features and benefits. The feature is like the thing, like you might be able to get pretty designs. What's the benefit of that? You can dress up an outfit without having to change clothes. Cool. So you don't even need to leave your house to get your pantyhose. Great. So features and benefits. That would be the next thing. And part of features and benefits, that leads into building value. Ultimately, and we'll get to this in the next one, we talk about price comparison, and it depends on how you're selling, but you want people to think that your rate is going to be way more than it actually is. How many of you have ever, like, it doesn't matter what the product is, we're expecting it to be so much more expensive that when you found out the price, you were like, hell yeah, no brainer, right? Like, I just looked up a fitness conference someone invited me to. I was expecting it to be like $1,000 because I'm used to going to like all weekend long marketing events. It was $297. I'm like, yeah, I'm going. I'm going to bring somebody with me. Like, that's amazing because I had this perception. So you're not fooling people or anything. Honestly, how many of you don't factor into when you price your stuff how much time, effort, and energy it takes you? It's always worth more than we're actually charging. So you're going to build up your value, and you're going to do that in a way that you want people with the intention. You want them to think it's going to be way more expensive than it really is. And we'll go back to that depending on how it is that you're selling to people. I heard Derek, I was not in the room, talking about answering objections. So the best way, did he say, what's the best way to answer an objection? Before or after it comes up? Before, right? So whenever you create product, program, service, you want to have the list. You want to know what are going to be all the reasons people are going to be sitting there balking at it, saying, no. Like that in-between percentage, which again, I love selling knives so much. As he's going through that whole like chart he had, we learned that in Cutco training. They were like, 10% of the people are never going to buy anything. 40% are always going to buy. 60% are going to say no, or the people that you can influence, the people he called the sideliners. So you're building value as you do this. What are the most common objections, or obviously for most things, time and money? So you want to be able to build that into your pitch. And again, he talked about the copywriting, but it's easier to handle. That's so funny. I forgot I put it. It said it right there. I'm like, do you want to answer them before or after they come up? Before, jackass. It's in capital letters on your slide. I made these on the airplane the other day. So, again, you want people to think it's going to be way more expensive than it really is. So the way that we would do this in the Cutco example to use a physical product is we would make a price comparison. We would talk about this other brand of knives called Henkel's. Boo. And Henkel's is like super, super expensive. And they're sold in stores. And they don't have a forever guarantee. So there's this thing called planned obsolescence. I have to go on this tangent because it's too good not to. When I was actually a district manager training my own sales reps, let me tell you how hard it is for people to say obsolescence. I literally had to dedicate like 5 minutes in training to like writing out ob, so less, and like practicing with people, obsolescence, like people just, it's a tough word. And we're working with college students. So anyway, you compare price. They should think it's way more expensive by the time you drop the price. So this is why lots of times if you look at sales pages, it'll say like you'll see the features listed and it'll say whatever value. You know what I'm talking about? And then it adds up and it's like, it's worth $18 million and I'm only going to charge you $297. So ask for the sale is obviously the last step. And so this, again, next slide come in is going to be the different ways that we sell with people. Dawn, who's actually a great friend and a client of mine, I had a full-day session with Dawn helping her launch her first product. And she was on, actually, a sales call with someone when I got to her house. And it's just like, is anyone a salesperson? Like, that's your background? How much do you love other, like hearing other people sell and like do a really great job? Have you guys ever bought something just because the salesperson was amazing? You're like, I don't even want this shit, but I'm going to buy it because you did such a great job. So I was listening to Dawn, and what she was closing this woman on was a one-time coaching call for $400. And the way she asked this lady, she was like, yeah, so I'll just send you the PayPal, and it's $400, and you can just get that to me before the time of our first call. So, or she said something like, would PayPal or, you know, whatever, credit card work better? And it was as if she was, like, asking the woman, what time is it? There was no, like, freaking out, like, sweating, pausing, getting all awkward. I used to love this part of training in Cutco because it's like, if you are just awesome yourself the entire time, you're, like, building rapport, if we're doing things on the internet, we're amazing in our videos, we write great blog posts, we put out great content, we interact with our people on social media, and then we go to put together this sales page or something that totally doesn't reflect our personality or who we are, there's going to be a disconnect. And people are going to be like, oh, why'd they get all weird when they went to sell me something, you know? It's the same way if you're actually having a sales conversation with a person. If the whole time you're like this. Like, what if I was selling you something today, and here I am up here, like, being a weirdo, and then all of a sudden, I got, like, really nervous and reserved and, like, couldn't make eye contact with you when I was going to ask you for the sale. That would inherently make you feel super uncomfortable. And Dawn was just like, it's $400. Did you want to pay for that with... She didn't snap like that, though. Did you want to pay for that with, you know, PayPal or credit card or whatever? So you asked for the sale. How many of you... Do any of you have, by the nature of your business, sales conversations with people, like phone calls or one-on-one? How many of you have ever just punked out and not even asked for the sale? Yeah, yeah. Last minute, you're like, hey, it was going to be $500. $350? Pretty please? And they're like, no. No. So it'd be super confident. So if anything, so I do a lot of webinars, and I someone asked this earlier, so I'll address this. I do a lot of webinars with people who have never done a webinar before. So I've actually, again, talked about having to sell other things. I've had to sell people on doing a webinar for their list. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. We get to hang out with your people live, ask their questions. It's like a great way to connect with your community. And they're like, all right, cool, we'll do it. And so a webinar, it's a one-to-many way of selling, but there's this whole webinar of where you're doing what Natalie talked about earlier, where she said you're highlighting some points. You're talking about like the what and some strategy, but not necessarily the how, because you got to save something to sell, right? The pitch at the end, you got to ramp up your energy for that. You have to like not, again, not be overly like, all right, it's time for the sales pitch. And people be like, freak, no. So don't do super weird stuff, but... You do need to ramp up your energy a little bit at the part where you're most likely to be drained. So, okay, the different ways to sell one-on-one, phone, Skype, or in person. So a lot of these things related to go back through some of what we talked about. If you're having a one-on-one conversation with someone, the absolute best thing you can do is literally speak to them like you would speak to someone you love and care about, right? Just talk to them like it's your girlfriend, or if it's a dude, like it's your brother or someone in your family. People love being treated like that. And it just, again, it makes it easier. You don't have to be someone you're not. You know, when people say, I tell the truth because I have a bad memory, it's like the same thing. I'm just myself because then I don't have to remember what character I was pretending to be when I was trying to sell that particular thing, you know? So you can sell to people one-on-one that way. One-to-many, public speaking, webinars, teleclasses, and I kind of just talked about that. How many do you guys do teleclasses or webinars? Do you get super nervous at the end when it's time to ask for the sale? That's like the most exciting part. That's like the fun part. Literally, when I'm at home doing these webinars, and it's like the best part because you could be in your pajamas if you want to, or like your underwear, and nobody would know. I'm literally standing up at my computer by the time it's time to make the sales pitch, and I'm like moving around, like getting the energy flowing, like. And they can feel it. And this is something that's so silly, but when I worked at Cutco, we had to call people to set up our appointments all the time. And Mrs. Jones. And they would say to us, sounds so cheesy, smile. Smile while you dial. They really said that. But I really did it, and it really works. So do that while you're talking to your customers, clients, and stuff like that. So while we're on the topic of one-to-many, because there were so many questions about webinars earlier, and I'm such a proponent of them, very similar to teleclasses, does anyone have a question about that? Like how it works? Really, that framework I just gave you, the 7 steps to a sale, you could structure a webinar that way. I know some people, the reason they don't do them is like, I don't even know what I would say, how I would do it. Use your 7 steps. Yep.
Your webinar is PowerPoint slides, it's not you on video, right?
Correct.
Video
NAR? But is that a thing? How would I do that? Like a live stream? No, but it's a great idea. Oh, that's cool. Oh, really? So, and have you ever been on any of his webinars before? Oh, because I was going to ask how you felt about it compared to being on a webinar versus seeing someone's face. Yeah. Because let me tell you, and they even say this in social media, like when your profile picture, you should be looking out. Eye contact, no matter what is the form, always that implies trust. So the answer is I have not done a video NAR, and you should coin that term. But I'm going to try it. By the way, I'm going to forget to tell you this, so I have to do it right now, even though it's off topic. I, as part of when I was promoting B-School this year, one of my bonuses was a sales workshop. So I actually am going to do a live webinar similar to this, but there will be some other like little ninja tricks and stuff I didn't get to talk about today. And I'm happy to give you guys access to that. Yes, Nat, I'm like, what can I give these people for listening to me for an hour? So if you go to lizdialto.com/OTC, unfortunately it is an opt-in because it's not available yet. So it's kind of like being on a waiting list. And then when I have it, I'll send you the registration link. So OTC, like for off the charts. You download OTC? No? It could. Maybe it'll be my first video NAR. Question. Oh, yeah. So funny. Yeah, if you're not Italian, you might not sound that out properly. LIZDIALTO. Dialto. I saw a couple other hands about webinars. Yes. Or anything. Really?
Yeah, it's like an online classroom where you're on the big screen and people's faces are in the audience, so you can see them.
Oh, cool. Wait, what do you use for Watch It Too? Similar. I love that. That probably does wonders for engagement too, because I know sometimes people just throw on the webinar and then they just ADD and do whatever. So real quick, let me just flip here. Video, which I'm going to tell you guys something really funny. So my first product was Tighter in 10 Days. I launched that almost 2 years ago. And I hired people to film the sales video, but copywriters are super expensive. And I'm like, I don't know how to sell stuff. I literally, to write this sales script, busted out my Cutco 7 Steps to a Sale, followed the steps, and I wrote the sales script. A couple months later, I was talking to a coach of mine, and he's like, this video is great. Who did the copy for you? I'm like, what do you mean? I did it myself. I used my Cutco 7 Steps to a Sale. So you could literally take what I taught you today, what Derek taught you today, and save yourself thousands upon thousands of dollars by just, you know, applying those things. Now you have some kind of structure, and again, obviously, really major emphasis on being yourself.